So is there a pattern today in the things that we do in this new covenant, in this new testament? Certainly there is. And there's a pattern for our Christian life. If we followed the pattern and the examples and we followed in line, we wouldn't have all the issues that we have today. Amen. Would we? We would not have the issues. If you're having issues, it's because you're not following the pattern. Well, that person's making me not follow the pattern. Or that person. Moses was instructed to do the pattern. Noah was instructed to build a boat by a pattern. Did he let anybody interfere with that pattern? Did Paul let anybody interfere with his pattern which he was teaching? He didn't. So for us, we have a pattern in our walk. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. The pattern for one's Christian life is far more important than some primitive tent structure. Our temple has life. It's not lifeless. And so it says here, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are God's. Right? So the entire spiritual body of Christ is this living organism. It's the holy temple of the Lord. All of us make that up. And it's built according to what? It's built according to a heavenly pattern. And I can show you scriptures that show that when Christ built his church, that there was going to be a specific pattern in which all would follow. There was going to be a specific pattern on how we were going to live our lives. There was going to be a specific pattern how I was going to treat my neighbor. There was going to be a specific pattern how I was to give on the first awake and partake of the Lord's Supper and sing and teach and preach. All these things were a pattern. And so you can go, if you look at Ephesians, has much to say when it talks about Christ's church. Right? In Colossians, it was Christ in his church, but here's Christ's church in Ephesians just talking about it. And what do you have to say about that? He said, I kind of just went a little further here in the 19, but fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God. Right? That's us. Right? Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. Right? That cornerstone that began everything. And if you follow the cornerstone and it's right at the beginning, there'll never be an issue. And I can say that because I built one of those aluminum sheds. I will never, ever build an aluminum shed ever again. Somehow my cornerstone was not right. Fortunately, it was cheap metal. By the end of it, we're just bending and pushing stuff and to make it work. But it did hold. I finally took it down. It leaked all the time. It was terrible, actually. But the point being is that somewhere along the line, it just got messed up. And it just kept messing up, and then that was what I ended up having. But Christ came as a cornerstone to set the pattern and the standard and the way that we would walk and the way that we'd follow in line. He says here, in whom the whole building being joined together grows in a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So if you think about that, Jesus began a pattern. He began a standard by the life in which he led, and he was kind of given insight into what was to come. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a new car. Remember that one? That was me. That wasn't him. But the point being is that that's what he did. And then what happens when he died and was resurrected and the apostles came in? What were they doing? They're upon a specific pattern. Think about the church when it was first established. You know, Sam mentioned when you're studying with someone, a good spot to go to is the gospel, right? To sow Jesus and the love of God and everything. And then, don't you almost go to Acts? I wasn't going to put this scripture up here, but I wanted to because I want to make the point on these standards and patterns that I'm talking about. Because this is so important. Because when you look in that, that those who were gladly received his word were baptized, right? 3,000. That's when it all began. That's when it began. And so what did they do? They continued steadfastly in a standard, in a pattern, in walking, and being an example. And that all came to be in this doctrine, this truth, in fellowship, in the Lord's Supper, and in prayers. That's when the church began. Let me ask you this. Was Paul at this time celebrating all that? No, he was killing the people that were doing that. Paul came later. Did Paul come with some new teachings? Did he? He came later. On the road to Damascus, Christ caught up with him. Hey, Paul, I'm going to have you... You're over here a little bit later, this whole apostle thing. I'm going to have you do some things a little different. You teach this way. Is that what happened? He didn't, because there was a sense of consistency. And for us that we're here, we're all like, yeah, we get that. Do we? Do we really get it? Do we really understand that? It's easy for us to look at the consistency of the pattern because you guys are here. The pattern I'm also referencing is the pattern in your life and the examples that you're setting in your life and where you've attained yourself right now. Are you up here? Or are you like down here? Or do you need to get a shovel and go deeper because you're way down there? And wherever you think you are, God wants you higher. And then when you get higher, God wants you higher than that. That's God. That's because that's what he wants of all of us. And so you see these standards and you see this. So Paul, which I'll just talk about here for a moment. You know, when he came along, he was teaching the same things. He wasn't changing anything. And he came to teach the Gentiles, right? The Jews were going to reject him. And he's like, all right, I'm done with you guys. And so he went out, right? The first missionary journey, the second missionary, the third one. Right, we're in that second run right now in Thessalonians. And so I want to talk about Paul. In Acts 20:35, this is pretty neat. Paul is going to meet with the elders at Ephesus. He had spent time there before. He wanted to meet with them. It's kind of his farewell to them. And he goes on to say about much of the things that he was doing with them in the time he was there and to be careful of the wolves that might come. He says, you know, that he with a good conscience, that he could say that he did what he had to do in teaching the truth and the pattern. But, you know, Paul says, I've shown you in every way, right? That's his example, by laboring or working hard like this, right? He said, well, to help the weak, right? It's better to blessed to give than to receive. He had all these principles and examples and all these patterns. And that's on our Friday night thing that we were studying, right? It was showing these things for us. And I was thinking about the lesson because I already kind of knew what I was going to do. I was thinking, man, this is exactly what my lesson is. It's going the Bible, seeing the pattern, examples, and the commands, and understanding it and applying them. Amen. And so, but this was Paul, and so... I mean, I want to go just because I want to go to 1 Thessalonians. And those that have been in the Bible study, it might be just a moment of a repeat. I'm not going to just go so in depth into this, but I want to just take a moment. I want to take a moment about just Paul, because earlier on we said he did the same thing at all the churches. He said to the elders, I've been consistent in what I'm doing. This is, you know, nothing's changed. But here in the first 12 verses of chapter 2, we find what I had, you know, got from someone else was the secret of Paul's success. When in a sense he's really defending himself in this letter, because there was probably naysayers after he left to say, this is what we did when we were here. They're going to go, yeah, he was this way. He was this guy. So for Paul, when we talk about a guy that was walking after the pattern doing all this, here's what we see. What we see is, whoops, we see nothing. Hold on. Okay, so, right, this is what we're talking about. This was Paul, right? This has got to be all of us. So this is Paul in Thessalonica, right? So all of the things that he did in regards to these things that we're discussing, that it was all characterized by the first part, by his unselfish love. He disregarded any comforts. He didn't care about himself in that regards. And yet he loved the truth so much. So there's that apostles' doctrine, the teaching that Christ gave them, through the Holy Spirit. And it was just one truth. It was one. But he loved the task of all of it. That was Paul. That was the example. We got to be that example. We got to be unselfish. We have to love the truth. But we have to love the task. And anything in life that's worth anything at all is hard work, isn't it? Not much is always given. Sometimes people are lucky that way. I'm not sure it is lucky because sometimes they take for granted what was given to them. But some of the best things you'll ever have in your life are the things that are hardest fought for. And yet with that then, it was also characterized by all I'm talking about here in his labor, in his hard work. And it seems kind of silly to talk about how do you labor and... How do you labor in gentleness? Hard work to be gentle and kind. Remember he mentioned in Thessalonians in the letter that he was acting like kind of the mom part, the nurturing part, but then he was the dad part of it. Right? And so he labored in these things, in his selflessness, in his willingness to do the things. He worked day and night under persecution all the time. And yet we struggle with some of the simplest things ever. That we could easily use God's word to get by and make it right, and we don't. But outside of all that too, which is important, and this is for all of us, is this characterized by an unspotted life. In Thessalonians, in the latter part, it talked about he was devoutly or holy, he was uprightly or justly, and he was blamelessly. But that was his. That was him. So we need to be. This is us. This is the pattern. This is how we're supposed to be. I never wanted to be an example. I look at my children, my wife, and my family, and I look at you, and I'm thinking, I got to be an example. I haven't always been the best. You know, I come into this year thinking, man, I just got to be an example. I got to stop saying, don't follow me. Don't do what I do. Do what I say. And I'm pleading with all of us here and trying to persuade you that you would be the same. And part of all of that is really, to be honest with you, is that whole selflessness thing. Everybody wants someone to do something for them first. It's just how it is, isn't it? We're all guilty of it. It's not about you. It's about others. Because that was the pattern that was set. And the purpose of Paul's labors and all that he did, why did he do all of that? So Thessalonians 1 through 11 talks about him and his character and his example setting and the pattern setting and the standard and his walk. All of it was for what reason? It's for this reason. That they would walk worthy of God. That you would walk worthy of God. That you would enter into his kingdom of glory. That was the purpose behind all of it. That they would conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Philippians 1:17 or 1:27. Whether or not Paul was there, he wanted them to be worthy. He wanted them to stand firm in one mind. Together for the faith of the gospel, this following in line. And that's pretty much paraphrased Philippians 1:27. You know, that's what he wanted. And that's what we should want. So for all of us here, this is me. You know, lessons like this, I know even Sam does his. I mean, this is about me. Amen. This is, really it is. I'm thinking about where I'm at. And I'm just, I want to be somewhere better than I was. Don't all of us? And so where are you in all of this? So each and every one of you, I want to think about in this following in line. You know, right? From the beginning, there was a pattern. You know, I was thinking that was, you know, we've often gone to that whole telephone thing. Remember, it's been mentioned before, the telephone game. I remember in elementary school doing it, where it'd be like, it'd begin over here, and it's like, little Susie went to the park with her bike. By the time it got over here, it was Jim's playing tetherball in outer space, right? Because they just it deviated at some point. At the end, it would laugh because you would go back to the original and say, what did you say? Oh. And so for us, for Fall in Line, it's real easy. That was part of the restoration movement. What do? They just went back to the original source, and what did you say? But this is important. Now, this following in line, then, is not just in the worship that we do, which is important, but I think we get that. Part of it is the rule and standard by which we live. We all should live by the same standard or rule. Because it's a good thing. God doesn't want anybody hurt. God wants everybody saved. The more that you resist the rule and the standard, the more your life becomes miserable and frustrating. Where are you at right now? What level have you attained? Right? Because whatever you're at right now, that's the standard by which you're living your life right now. Right? You only know what you know, so you're only living by that standard. To increase that level, you're going to have to go to God's Word. Because that's where the increase is going to come. And application, obviously, and doing good things for people, and studying, and all the good things that come with that. And so, where are you then in the example part of it? Are you willing to leave here tonight to be an example this week at work, at home? I hope so. And how about your walk? Your conduct, your lifestyle, that's where it is. It's mentioned so much in the Bible about walking, right? All of this really, which is all the foundation of that pattern that was set. So I'm saying all of this. If you want to go and turn your Bibles to Philippians 3:18, you can go back there for a moment, because I'm going to conclude with the scriptures finishing in Philippians. I'm saying all of this because you know what? The whole thing is that there's some people that claim to be of God that aren't walking according to the pattern. Maybe there's some here today. Maybe there's some here this evening. I don't know. I don't know your hearts. But there are some that claim to be of God, but they're not following the heavenly pattern. And so with that then, takes us to here. Because remember Paul in 16 and 17, he was talking about, however, let us do this, live and follow the standard that we attain, be an example, walk in the pattern. But he says, however, there's some that don't comply to this heavenly pattern. He said, there's some that are enemies of God. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. So Paul adds a brief but potent threefold description of such people. And this is what he's saying about them. He's saying about whose God is their belly. They're not following God the Father. Their God is their own appetite, their lustly desires, their animal passions. And secondly, they glory in that which is shameful, and whose glory is in their shame. A lack of shame is indicative of a calloused conscience that can no longer discern between good and evil, and between right and wrong. And then thirdly, then, as we can see then, which is simple, is that their mind's on earthly things, these temporary things, these things that aren't going to last. And so we have a sharp contrast. Christians who follow the God-given pattern are no longer citizens of this earth. Those who follow the God-given pattern are the ones that are citizens of heaven. So Paul would go on and he would say that very thing. In 3:20, he tells us, right, this is where I want all of us to be. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, that heavenly pattern that each of us follow. We follow in line from the beginning. It was set for all of us that we'd have salvation. And that we eagerly await. And so my final scripture here this evening is summed up really in Philippians 4:9. And this is it right here. It all comes to this. I mean, if you follow the letter, it's just a great letter. But it really finishes up in this here, the things which we learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul sums up why he does what he does. Paul sums up why we need to do what we need to do. Is that if those things that he's given us, the standard and the rule, the examples and the walk, that's when the God of peace will be with you. If you don't have peace with God right now, I am telling you, I don't mean to say it just so boldly like that, you are not following the pattern. You can't tell me someone else is making you, causing you to mess up. You're messing up. It isn't about the other person, it's about you. Amen. It's about you. And so for all of us, I just pray and hope that we can take this evening, contemplate these things, look into your life, and make sure and take a moment. That's part of the examination process. Am I following in line? Am I set to that standard and rule? Am I being an example that others could follow in me? Because if not, we got to change things. I had to change things. And that we want to be able to look at others walk. And we walk with them in the pattern that he's given us. And so that's my lesson here this evening. If there's anybody here that is not a Christian, you know, God's given you a pattern in which to be saved. And it was the same from the scripture we went to in Acts chapter 2. Because at that point, they were lost. And you're lost. And you can be found. And you can be baptized this evening. You can be a Christian. And you can be given that pattern, that standard in which to live. If there's someone here that's not living in the pattern, standard, and the example that they need to be, if we can help in any way, and I always believe, too, that if you got issues and you're not going to come forward, because I realize sometimes people get embarrassed by it, get your life right with God. Amen. Get your life right, and hopefully all of us will be examples to one another, and there will be better examples to people around us, and we'll save some souls. If you're subject to the invitation, please stand and come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.